On today's episode of the Direct Podcast, Cap has a new suit, we might have a new Supergirl, and we draft live-action Spider-Man suits. Everything you need to know about the universes you love right here on the Direct Podcast.
Truth is,
I am a Jedi.
I'm the Vengeance.
And I am Iron Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in, welcome on, and welcome to another episode of the Direct Podcast, Season 3, Episode 4. I'm your host, Matt Ergie, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, friend, box office correspondent, and senior editor at thedirect.com, Mr. David Thompson. David, big weekend of football behind us, the Super Bowl ahead. How we doing? How we feeling? How was your weekend?
I'm doing pretty good. My weekend was great. Sunday was awesome. We were busy in the morning. We did like brunch and everything. Got home at like 2:45 p.m. Eastern, which was like a perfect, perfect time. So right then and there, boom, turn on the TV and the AFC Championship began. And that was amazing. Great. It's awesome in a way to not have your team in these situations because I could just sit back yesterday and just enjoy myself, because if my team had been in any of these games, I would have been losing my mind. One day, I hope we're back. But yeah, it was an awesome weekend. Had a rough start to this morning. Didn't talk about it before we started recording, but went to the basketball courts, playing basketball, surprised a lot of guys showed up to play the Monday morning. You know, I thought it was going to be pretty empty just to shoot around. You know, I didn't put my contacts. I was kind of just taking it easy. End up playing 5-on-5. We win a few games in a row. It's the fourth game now. I need to leave anyway. Loose ball. It's closer to me. I reach for it. Dude, head-to-head dives into this part of my head. I'm pointing to like my upper left forehead. Boom. Not concussed. Looking clear. Looking good. Might be in the protocol. But scary moment. And I left the gym immediately. So I'm like, I'm out of here. I need to go anyway. And it's one of those things where after the third game, I was like, should I just leave? Should I just go? I have things to do. I got places to be. Didn't want to mess up the mojo. Should have left. Should have messed up the mojo, because it was a legit head-to-head. Everyone in the gym went like gasped and freaked out. But I'm cool. It's just like, wow. It's just those small little moments. And you're just having a good time. But crazy stuff happens, man. That's sports.
We talked for 20 minutes before we hit record on this podcast, and you didn't mention that. Are you good? I mean, one of us does vitamins. The other one might be concussed. What are we supposed to do here, David? We need to put a podcast out. Are you okay? Or do we need to get you under a blue tent?
I'm great.
An independent third party doctor. These are the questions I need to know.
No, I'm doing pretty good, man. I've been concussed before from basketball in high school, actually. Yeah. So I know what it's like. And
it's always a loose ball.
By the way, full court press. Like, come on. A little bit like the guy got a tip on the ball.
He's Dan Huggins
getting passed into me. Ball's right in front of me. I'm casually going for it. I'm not trying to freak out. Head first into me. Like, his buddies were there and like got on him immediately. He was messed up too. Like, he sat down. I just left the gym. But it was one of those things where I'm like, can we not? It's Monday morning. Don't go like freaking Troy Polamalu into my head.
I would think, now, was the whole team doing full court, or was it just him running up trying to get a ball?
He was defending the guy that was passing the ball in.
Ugh.
Tipped the ball. So yeah. He tips it on the inbounds, going to me. Yeah, quick hands. He was a good player. And then it was like he turns and just, I mean, basically like dives for it. And it just like the front of his head hit the side of mine.
But you didn't dive as well. You were down under.
I'm leaning and reaching for it.
Great podcasting, by the way.
Yeah, I'm reaching for it to my right, and he like dove for it. And he was a really athletic guy, so it hurt.
This seems like this guy is violating some sort of effort rule on 5-on-5 pickup basketball at the gym. I feel like full court West Virginia basketball should not be allowed during a pickup game. You know what I mean?
And especially like come on. Like
game
four. And we had won a few straight. He was a really good player that was trying to, like, people are, you know, mixing in and out. So, you know, all that being said, look out,
superstar.
You know, and I'm getting old too. Like, I feel like in my olden days, I would have maybe avoided, maybe been a little quicker to the ball. Maybe it was like I was going too slow. One of those things.
No. You. I feel like you are victim blaming yourself here a little bit. This guy diving after a ball at a full court press. Like, you know, if it's going out of bounds, sure, dive for it. But like a full court press was.
No, I was pissed. Trust me, I was pissed. I left the gym.
I know everything I need to know about this gentleman. You know what I mean? I know everything I need to know about him.
Still a good time. Gentlemen,
that has been Talking Basketball here on the Direct Podcast, something we have not done since last year's NBA Finals. Can you believe it, David? Can you believe it? That felt good. That felt good to get that in there.
Yeah, thanks. Kick me while I'm down.
No problem. Hey, champs.
Oh, he's got the shirt on, champs. Too.
Yeah, Super Bowl set, Chiefs Niners. You got to pick. It is essentially a 1-point spread. We're gonna pick them.
Yeah, great question. I'm going Chiefs. Okay. I'm not gonna actually bet on the game, but I'm not betting against Mahomes.
You can't
until I see it. And only Burrow and Brady have beaten him up until this point. And I think Purdy. Look, man, he ran really well. He won the game. He made some throws. I still don't feel like he was at that level. That's just my opinion. David. I genuinely believe in the Super Bowl. He's not going to cost them it, but it's going to be like, okay, like it's going to be once again, like, why did I bet on Purdy over Mahomes? I hate how football is like that, but I feel like as Colts fans, it sometimes just is like that. Playing Brady all those years, it's just like, shit. Like, how do you beat this guy?
It's just the Patriots again. That's all it is. It's just the Patriots again. These guys are a little more likable and haven't cheated yet. At the end of the day, that's really where we're at. Yeah. But two things to say. One, I agree. I'm betting the Chiefs. It's not even so much I think the Chiefs are going to win. I will not be sitting there holding the bag being beaten by Patrick Mahomes again. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just won't do that to him. I love this Chiefs team. I love this. I think Patrick Mahomes is so fun to watch that I don't understand hate toward this team unless you are a Bills fan or, I guess, a Ravens fan now. You know what I mean? Like,
unless you really sports hate them, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Sports, like, hated the Patriots for so many years.
If you're a team that would have maybe gone to a Super Bowl by now had it not been for Mahomes, I get it. That's
right.
Fine.
Right.
But
Bengals.
Sure. Well, I mean, they beat them. That's the.
But it's a rivalry, you know.
But on the other side, I just don't understand how people can watch Brock Purdy make these passes and make these runs and do the things he does. Is he doing it at the volume in which a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes, a Lamar Jackson in the regular season does? No, maybe not. But this guy is dropping dimes. This guy is making plays. He's winning football games. I just don't understand it. I don't understand what more he has to do.
Yeah, no, I'm not a full-on hater. I think he's perfect for the system, and the Niners very well might win. Like, they and Purdy could get MVP.
This is not about who's going to win the game. It's inevitable at this point.
Yeah, no, I do think Pat's going to get it, but
it's fun.
I just feel like when you boil it down, I don't see Purdy making all the plays. I see him making maybe a mistake, and that's what Mahomes, honestly, this year has been doing the best, not making any mistakes. He makes zero mistakes.
Let the defense go.
He's maybe not like making every play, converting every third down in the second half, but he's not making any mistakes. And then you have Lamar Jackson throwing into triple coverage, not doing it. And then their play calling was all messed up. I picked the Chiefs to win because of Mahomes, but the Ravens play calling to me was just bizarre.
Shout out Tony Spagnuolo as well.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy had him going. It was I'm so excited for this game. It's a perfect game because, like, Chiefs defense. Away. It's not even Chiefs defense against Brock Purdy at this point. You know who it is. It's the Chiefs defense against Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
How much are you going to let Christian McCaffrey get going in this game? You know what I'm saying? Very exciting stuff. We have gone way too long without talking about anything from the universes you love. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got a big episode here. We're going to go through some news. We're going to have a Spider-Man related draft in anticipation for Madam Web. Also, keep a lookout for later in this week. We'll be catching up, reviewing, and recapping Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning brand, here on the Direct Podcast. But until then, right now, right here in front of you, here we go. Everything you need to know about the universes you love.
That's slander.
It is not. I resent that. Slander is spoken. In print, it's libel.
All right, here we go. Everything you need to know about the universes you love. Not a universe we cover, but a sequel, a remake. Not a sequel. It's definitely a remake. It's a reboot, ladies and gentlemen. Roadhouse. And if I had to guess the demographic of the people who listen to this podcast, when we say Roadhouse, you think Family Guy. You do. You just do. But through Family Guy, through the genius that is Seth MacFarlane, Roadhouse is something that people know. And it's being remade. It's Jake Gyllenhaal. It's Conor McGregor. It's coming out on Prime Video March 21st. The trailer dropped. Gyllenhaal's a dog. David, your thoughts, reactions, and excitement level for Roadhouse.
It looks good, man. I hope it gets some limited theaters because, unfortunately, this is a direct-to-streaming movie. And that is such a shame for me. I know like the creative team is fighting back with Amazon on this, and I'm with them. I think after this trailer, maybe there's a chance we get just at least a few more theaters, because there will be a limited amount, but it looks awesome. I think Jake Gyllenhaal, I love him in these types of roles. Conor McGregor getting thrown in, I had no idea it was coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is happening right now? That kind of him being in the movie kind of sets the level of like seriousness to kind of take this thing.
Very well said.
I can't wait. I mean, yeah. The problem is like, okay, turning it on Amazon, fine. Going out to a theater to see this, I think would be really fun. Especially the action looks pretty cool. So I'm excited for it. My wife, Jasmine, loves Jake Gyllenhaal. Didn't watch the trailer, saw that it was coming out, and was like, oh, gotta see that, because she just loves Gyllenhaal. But what were your thoughts?
It looks good. It looks fun. Like, I love Gyllenhaal as well. I really like Jake Gyllenhaal, especially when he gets to have fun in a role.
Right.
You know, we know he can act Nightcrawler, things like that. Like he can get intense, but when he's having fun, I do think he's got a unexpected Goslingness to him, where like he's just always kind of funny. He's not really telling jokes. He's just funny. Nobody does that better than Gosling right now, but I think Gyllenhaal's got a touch of it, which is, you know, an exciting thing in this role. You know, him replacing Swayze makes sense. Having McGregor replace, you know, the Sam Elliott role in this, the guy he's going against. I don't know if I'm excited for Conor McGregor in a movie, because when Ronda Rousey did her thing, it was at least she was there because she is such a physical presence. And probably, I didn't watch Expendables, but from her stuff in Fast, a really good action star.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to ask Conor McGregor to talk a lot in this movie. And
that's not great.
I hope it's good. I mean, few people better on a microphone than Conor McGregor. Don't get me wrong. The guy can fucking cut a promo.
Yeah.
But is he going to cut a promo for 2 hours? Like, is that what this is going to be? Because if so, I understand the streaming thing maybe a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see. How they use Conor McGregor is my only hesitation. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Jake Gyllenhaal beating people up and being like, boy, that was something, drinking a beer. I'm here for it. I'm there.
Yeah. The bar fights look great.
It's Roadhouse.
I like when it goes from, you know, like actual like octagon fighting to then like just the bare knuckles, mm-hmm. like real world kind of a thing. I think that's a lot of fun.
Not going to be mad at that one bit. You know what I mean? I think it'll be a good time. Moving over to the universes you love, getting into more of our brands here. Let's hop over to the DC side of things. We know that Superman Legacy is coming. We know that there's a Supergirl project coming after that. Will Supergirl be in Superman Legacy? These are the questions we have. And apparently Warner Brothers has them as well. We have a final two reported. The short list has gone down to two people to play Supergirl in James Gunn's new DCU. The first one, the front runner, in my opinion, with the name, with the face, it's Millie Alcock, who famously played the younger version of Rhea on House of Dragon, somebody that me and David were obsessed with during the House of Dragon original run. It's her and then Meg Donnelly. Now, who is Meg Donnelly, you might ask? I personally have no idea who Meg Donnelly is. She looks like a charismatic young actress. Her number one role in her career, 102 episodes of a sitcom television program called American Housewives between the years of 2016 in 2021. Meg Donnelly, I'm sure you are a great actress. I'm excited for your future career. Already played Supergirl in an animated role. What the hell is American Housewives? And why the hell does it have 101 episodes over the last 5 years? Who watches this? This isn't a real show.
Meg Donnelly. Is this a Disney thing? Because Meg Donnelly to me is a, she's kind of a Disney like channel star. She's been in the zombies movies for Disney. She's also been in High School Musical, the musical, the series, which I was a fan of the first season. I don't remember her being in the first season, but I guess she's in that. And then the main thing, which I thought was kind of what's surprising in this news for me, is that she made it to the final two. Because when the first report came out, Meg Donnelly voiced Supergirl in some recent DC animated stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. They're giving her one, right? All right. Like you
Crisis,
voice-
even. Not even like some, it's Crisis.
Yeah. No, like yeah. the recent DC stuff. Yeah, exactly. So, okay, we're going to let the voice, you know, the voice actress like audition. That sounds cool. Like we'll let her. Now she's in the final two. So I think there's a really good shot. It's Meg Donnelly. She certainly looks the part, like just in terms of what you would think of like Supergirl looking like. I am, of course, rooting for Millie Alcock here. But I think in general, like, I don't know a lot about Donnelly's, you know, thespian work. I feel like we do with Alcock a bit because of House of Dragon, how excellent
because we saw she one
was.
Show.
but that is a show. Huge, I mean, that was a massive Game of Thrones spinoff where she's playing the main character for the first couple of episodes and absolutely 100% killed it.
Crushed it. Yeah.
So. Like, I, you know, she's got the chops and I think she will win out. And I think this is pure speculation. They're in Atlanta doing these testers. I imagine maybe they're working with Corin Sweat a bit, see how the chemistry is, right? Get other actors involved. And the report also mentioned they're going to be in Superman Legacy and probably in a very small role. But maybe test out, you know, who are they interacting with in said scene or in said moment, and try to kind of figure that out. But it's pretty cool. It's a really big casting. Like, this cannot go under the radar because by all accounts this is either going to be the second or third DC universe movie released in theaters. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. So I'm excited, and I think it's going to be decided very, very soon.
I'm excited as well, and I agree with everything you said. I think you being like the business side of all of this and Mr. Studio and Mr. Theaters, and I think you kind of skirted the question. What the hell is American Housewife?
Have
102 episodes. Listen, I'm looking at the IMDb. I love Katie Mixon. Don't get me wrong. She's the girlfriend in Eastbound and Down. She's Jon Favreau's wife in Four Christmases. She's the one who's like, yes, absolutely. She makes the cheese and crackers thing. She's wonderful. I refuse to believe there are people out there who have been watching American Housewife for 102 episodes over 5 years. There's no way. That's not
ABC.
A real show, David. It's not a real show, and I won't believe it until told otherwise.
I'm telling you,
it's
Meg insane. Donnelly, the Disney darling, either Disney Channel, Disney Plus, or ABC. Heading over to Warner Brothers.
Sure. That's great. High School Musical, the musical. Is that where we got Olivia Rodrigo?
That is.
Good for them.
Well, she was on Bizarre Vark on Disney Channel. Then High School Musical was her breakout.
What did you just say to me?
Bizarre Vark was the Disney Channel show that Jake Paul used to be on.
Paul was on Disney Channel?
If you YouTube Disney Channel, Olivia Rodrigo, Jake Paul, there are just scenes with them sort of acting with each other in the show.
And
it's hilarious.
Jake's the younger one, right?
Jake's the younger one.
Because
Logan pops
Paul
up for an episode.
Got famous for What Are Those and Dabbit.
Yeah, he was more of like the Vine. And then Jake was just his little brother and then the whole YouTube sensation, yeah.
Now he's the United States champion. Anyway, I just don't think people watch these shows. I don't think they're real. I think
somebody out there.
They're putting out blank screens and not telling anybody just to see how far they can go.
It's hilarious.
Moving on. We saved all of our MCU news for one chunk here. We talked a couple weeks ago. Steven Yeun has left as Sentry from Thunderbolts. They seemingly have a new replacement, a new favorite to replace Steven Yeun per the rags of Hollywood. Lewis Pullman. Who's Lewis Pullman? I don't know who that is. It's Bob from Top Gun Maverick, baby. Bob. Come on, man. It's Bob. It's the best code name in Top Gun Maverick. I won't hear otherwise because they just never give him one. He's just Bob. You know what I mean?
It's great.
It's so funny. And he's also awesome. Lewis Pullman, Bill Pullman's son. If you don't know who Bill Pullman is, Independence Day, the greatest speech in movie history. Thoughts on Bob, who, come on, we're going to call it Bob. You know we are. Bob taking on the Century role coming off of Top Gun Maverick.
Interesting. I wouldn't say this is like a one-to-one replacement in my mind, but sure. I mean, just from having seen Pullman in Top Gun, Steven Yeun, I haven't seen Beef, which he's winning all the awards for this year. Sure. So congrats to him. And it's scheduling conflicts, of course. It's interesting to me. I liked Bob in Top Gun Maverick. I mean, he's and he's good, and he'll probably be back for the next one. But I'm definitely curious as to what this Century character is, characteristics, character description. Like, that's this kind of stuff that I would love to see right now, because based on those two castings, I don't necessarily see both of those guys always auditioning for the same types of roles, if that makes sense. So it's very interesting now that it seems like Pullman's taking over. But look, in terms of Thunderbolts, I'm open-minded. I am down for whatever. I just hope the movie turns out well. But it definitely is a shame they're having to make this change, especially when it seems like they're going to start filming very, very soon, and now they're having to make these changes.
Yeah, and you know, just on Lewis Pullman, I think that I was never a Walking Dead guy. You know what I mean? But I, ironically enough, I saw the first couple seasons. You know what I mean? I was there for the beginning of it, so I know who Steven Yeun is. He's the guy in the car. I didn't watch Invincible. I also didn't see Beef. I feel like there's a lot of I love him in Nope. Love
great
him.
Great Nope. Yeah.
He's very good in Nope. But I feel like having a name like Steven Yeun get this Century role brings in a lot of, okay, I'm excited for Steven Yeun kind of thing. Whereas Lewis Pullman, great as Bob. I know it's a small role, but he's very conserved. And then when Hangman's a dick, Bob doesn't shy off from giving him shit for it. You know what I mean? I feel like it's more of a blank slate. You know what I mean? We can go in getting excited for Century as opposed to getting excited for Steven Yeun. And I think in an ensemble movie like this, I feel like that is definitely something that might end up helping this character that could have a little bit of the Superman problem. But you know what helps that? A character that we can get behind, you know, behind all those problems. So
yeah,
hopefully that works out. Not the only change in Thunderbolts, though. There's another uncasting and then recasting. The scheduling conflicts seem to have affected Thunderbolts in a pretty big way. It being such a big ensemble movie, that makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of schedules that they need to work around. And so the supporting characters like Sentry as the villain and Ayo Ido,
Ayo Edebiri.
I just need to hear it once. Ayo, come on. It's our girl Ayo. She's in everything and we love her. Sid. Rachel O'Neill. Ayo Edebiri, she has left her role in Thunderbolts. It was supposedly one of those MCU side roles, a la Martin Freeman, a la Luis from Ant-Man. And she's being replaced by Geraldine Viswanathan. Now, I don't know much about Geraldine Viswanathan. I feel like this is one of those things where I saw her in one thing, and everybody's going to tell me, oh, you haven't even seen this, that, the other. Her and Cock Blockers with John Cena and Leslie Mann and Ike Barinholtz. She is John Cena's daughter in Cock Blockers. She is so fucking funny.
Yeah, that's me, man.
She is a standout in that film, and I love her for it. Very excited to see her in Thunderbolts.
Yeah, I think this move is really interesting because Ayo, I think from when she was probably originally cast, her career is like skyrocketing, and this seems to be a really minor role. So the move makes sense. Obviously, it's the the scheduling conflicts that are happening right now. But it's Steven Yeun, his career's rising.
Off Beef. Yep.
So is Ayo. It's rising, and like they're the ones that are busy. They're the ones that can't make the schedule work, and that's okay. I think Century, I think is more big. A bigger deal than this, which is rumored to be just Val's like assistant or something like that. So I think we could get AO back in Marvel Studios. I don't think this is something where she's now never going to get back into one of our brands here. I just think it could be for a bigger role eventually.
Kitty Pryde?
Hey man, the X-Men are coming.
Why not Kitty?
There's a lot of options. A lot of options.
Why not Kitty, man?
That could be cool.
I cannot wait for the MCU Kitty Pryde, dude. She's gonna be awesome. Shout out Elliot Page, but like Kitty Pryde's a main character. We gotta make her a main character.
By the way, completely off track, but back onto the Thunderbolts. Unbelievable that David Harbour is able to film this movie. Everyone else's schedule is all like conflicted and can't do it, but David Harbour is gonna make it happen. Come on.
Excuse well, no, me. I do think that's kind of what's going on here. We got this big ensemble movie with David Harbour, Florence Pugh, Sebastian Stan, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is coming back. David Harbour, Kurt Russell's kid, Wyatt Russell.
Like,
those are all like really big name actors, especially Harbour, Florence Pugh, and Sebastian Stan. They're all making a lot of big stuff right now. I think the fact that their schedules need to be very specific, these supporting roles, they're finding less wiggle room, especially with somebody like AO and somebody like Steven Yeun, who is all of a sudden much busier. You know what I mean? I do think you notice none of these are Thunderbolt characters. So I feel like the schedule is very specific, as is the case for every ensemble movie. And if your role isn't like a role in this movie, they're willing to be flexible given the writer's strike gave them a 2-year delay essentially on getting this thing going.
Yeah, exactly. And they're moving forward. I'm happy that, I mean, with all these shifts and updates, it does seem like Sebastian Stan recently just talked about how I think next month or within the next month or two, they are going to begin filming. And that's an exciting update.
It is exciting. Also, I'm excited for Sebastian Stan to play Donald Trump in a movie, which will be very funny. Moving on, I did cut some stories here for time's sake. You know, the big three are back in Daredevil. We know that. Deadpool has done filming. We're on trailer watch, David.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask.
Timeline.
Do we get Super Bowl? That's the question.
Have to.
God, that'd be awesome.
Marvel has to have a presence at the Super Bowl.
100% agree. I was just talking about this with Jasmine. I'm like, they have to show it. They have to show something because they
Ryan Reynolds at least
15 seconds. 20 seconds, yeah. Whatever. Something legitimate, something real. They have something. They filmed half the movie before it strikes. And they I think, to just generate positive excitement for Marvel, they have to do this. By the way, can't brush over the whole Daredevil thing. We won, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
The big three are back. Let's go, baby. I'm so excited. That's all. I just have to shout out my other Daredevil heads out there. I love that they're back. I don't care for how long they're back. Seeing those images and videos made my day. And God, it just makes my heart warm that they're all back together.
It's very exciting. I apologize for brushing over it.
No, that's okay. That's all I have.
I also love Foggy's new haircut and beard combo. I think he looks fantastic.
Yeah, looks good.
Shout out the Smash Brothers from the Mighty Ducks. Deadpool has to have a Super Bowl presence. It's a foregone conclusion at this point. I really think so. I think it's going to be... we're going to have a whole episode recapping Super Bowl trailers and teases that we get, as surely there will be many. Very excited.
Yeah. And I hope we get some new, fresh ones. You know, I feel like there's a lot of movies that are going to be on there, a lot of TV shows that we've maybe already seen a teaser for. I'm thinking like Planet of the Apes, The Fall Guy, even like Imaginary Friends now has a teaser out, the new Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski thing. I'm just hoping we get some surprises like a Deadpool 3.
Announcement dates as well for television, I think, is going to be big here.
The Boys, Bear, maybe.
House of the Dragon, The Boys, all shows.
House of the Dragon.
All shows that don't have dates yet.
Yeah.
So the calendar is going to be a little more set after Super Bowl. Very exciting stuff. Other exciting stuff. Captain America, Sam Wilson, the Falcon turned captain, has a brand new suit leaked in a toy cover. You can check out the direct.com to get a look at it. David, your response to this very blue, very Steve Rogers-esque suit with the blue and white wings, though. That's what's sticking out to me.
I love it, man. I wasn't a massive fan of the suit at the end of Falcon the Winter Soldier. You know what it was? I didn't like the whole like white headpiece so much. I didn't mind the like emphasis on more white in the suit, But that was the element that I didn't necessarily love. And I think this looks sleek. It's a little bit darker with all of the blue. I think it looks like a complete upgrade in every sense of the word. And I love the fact that there is no like helmet or anything. It's just his goggles. It kind of is like that lasting image of just like the Falcon, right? With just the goggles there. So I love it.
The red tinted goggles are iconic at this point. Shout out Pierre over at thedirect.com. One of the best writers we have. One of the best researchers we have. He keeps all of our comic accuracy very honest. And
he knows
and
a lot.
That is his primary role, at least in my life, is making sure that I'm not off base with comic accuracy. He brings up a good point that the white and the cowl for Sam Wilson's Captain America really was the biggest signifier between him and a Steve Rogers suit. You know what I mean? Like that Steve Rogers really never had a white suit, and Sam Wilson always had a white suit. And that was kind of the comic difference between those two Captain Americas. Right. I will say that sometimes in live action, it just doesn't work out as well. I think the shield pops a lot better with this blue suit. And also, if you don't want to lose the difference between, well, what's a Sam Wilson suit versus Steve Rogers suit, the wings. I mean, just the wings, really, dude. I feel like the Falcon wigs do a lot for that. So just me.
And that goes with my point too of like there's no real like helmet or mask, you know, like like Cap always had notably for the, you know, for the most part in the MCU and in comics, the helmet, you know, or whatever you call it. So I like where it's kind of just the goggles. It just looks clean. If I'm being honest, it just looks really clean. I love it. It looks like an awesome suit that I'm happy that's their direction. And I think there was something like CGI they were, you know, worried about with the whole headpiece and stuff like that. So, and like you said, shield pops, can't wait. I love the action. Go watch the finale of that show if you want to see the old suit, but the action pops so well with it, using the wings, using the shield. Can't wait.
Love it. You love to see it, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about suits, talking about threads out of here, capes and cowls and whatnot. Let's keep doing it. It's Spider-Man season, whether we like it or not. So let's have a draft. Let's draft Spider-Man suits.
What if I told you we were putting a team together?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in, welcome on, and welcome back to the Direct Draft Day in honor of Madam Web coming in with not one, not two, not three, but four new Spider-Man suits in live action. We will be drafting Spider-Man live action suits with a twist. I'm here, David Thompson's here. We are joined as always, not as always, but this time by one of my favorite brains in this space, one of our Star Wars correspondents and the main host of Reckless Rebellion. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. He's a Cowboys fan, Thomas Carter, Rochester, TCR. How we living, baby?
We are L-I-V-I-N. All right. Look at that mustache, Matt. I'm so proud of you. It's coming in good. It's sexy. Tough. Bro, you look like you could throw on a mask and become Zorro.
It has not changed even a little bit in the 2 years I've been growing this facial hair. Like nothing. Nothing. It looks like this. That's it.
I love it.
No.
At least you're not
being
David.
Nice because you have a very nice mustache. You see, TCR, you come in here and you piss me off right away. It's
hey, you got more than Jack. You got more than David tries to grow. So,
yeah.
Not true. David grows a better beard than me. That's a fact.
He just doesn't try.
I know.
He just shaves it. He's trying to look like Spider-Man. He's trying to look like Superman. He's just Peter Kent over here.
He does both of those
things
really well.
Yeah.
I can't stand growing facial hair because it takes so long for it to actually grow out. And like my facial hair looks so terrible the entire way. Like the entire time. I just hate it.
Yeah. This is what I got. I'm sticking with it, I guess. Whatever. You know,
it is a good look.
Thanks, man. It's a good look. We're going to draft Spider-Man live action suits. Thomas, we're very excited to have you on here because you are playing Spider-Man on PS5. Is that what I heard?
That's right. Yeah.
So you got Spider-Man suits on the brain right now. You know what I mean? You got all the different colorways you can imagine going. We have Madam Web coming up. We're going to get three new Spider-Man and then a villain who also looks like a Spider-Man. We don't really know what the deal is there yet. We'll find out on Valentine's Day 2024. So in honor of Madam Web, in honor of all these new suits, we're going to be drafting live action Spider-Man suits, but we're not limiting it to just Spider-Man. Obviously, all we've gotten so far is Peter Parker. So we're not limiting it just to Peter Parker suits. The villains are on the table, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking all the villains from the Raimiverse, all the villains from the Tasmverse, and all the villains from the MCU iteration of Spider-Man, including the variants from the previous two. Thomas Carter Rochester, before we get going, who is your favorite Spider-Man?
Ooh.
A question me and David have been going back and forth on over the past few weeks.
My favorite Spider-Man. Oh man, that's tough because I'm gonna be like Holland, right? But then after No Way Home, I'm like, oh my God, I am Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, like on the inside. He's our millennial Spider-Man. He's our generation in terms of being us. And I'm like, wow, the generational trauma he's got, he handles it just like us. So I really love that portrayal specifically. But I really do love Holland. And the way he just is the character. I'm playing the game, and Yuri, the way that the character looks, the way Yuri plays it, I'm like, you can't tell me this isn't the exact same character as Tom Holland.
Yeah,
like it's so perfect in its own Peter Parker way. Shout out 1996 animated Spider-Man, my first Marvel show I ever watched. Inject that into my veins. Still on who? It was on who? No, it's on Disney now.
Plus.
That's
buff Peter Parker, though. You know what I mean?
Just that's jacked. Right.
David, Yuri just does such a good job. I know he does his own thing. I don't want to take away from what Yuri does in those games, but I would not be surprised if his direction was what Tom Holland's Peter Parker would be 8-10 years down the line. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the direction. I feel like he really crushes whatever that is.
I agree. And it's something where when Thomas was saying that, that is the blueprint for what the next trilogy could be in terms of like how Peter could act, him being 100%. Now suddenly the veteran, if they want to bring in a live action Miles. And they can't copy the video games because the video games are awesome in their own thing. But there is something where the mentee becomes the mentor. And even Spider-Man, like Peter Parker in the games, he's still learning, you know, like he is a veteran Spider-Man, but he's still not like, he's not Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse. Like he's just a fully grown adult, which is who is fought all of these villains so far and have these crazy experiences and can use that to kind of, honestly, I think what it mainly is, he has a sense of calm typically. Like he has this like really great sense of calm over Miles, where it's like, seen this before, done this before, we can do this, we are Spider-Man, you know, let's go save the day.
Which, and no spoilers, Thomas, but like his calm he has, and it makes it when he doesn't have that so much more impactful. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You know, it's a great game. Keep playing it. It's great. So in honor of that game, in honor of Madam Web, we're going to draft suits. And a lot of Spider-Man suits are going to be taken here. I'm really excited to get into what makes each suit better, not just aesthetically, but also within the narrative of these movies. Because I feel like for a lot of these movies, not all of them, the suits play a big part into the story. I'm really excited to dive into that for not just the heroes, but the villains. And I have talked too much. We got David's name. We got Thomas's name. We got my name on a random list generator. David, where am I going to pick?
Second.
Okay, here we go.
What is it?
It's last. Of course it's last.
No way.
It's every single fucking time. It's Thomas, David, Matt.
Okay. Damn it.
Okay, I'll take second. Second's actually where I want
it. Weird, right?
Do you want to trade, Matt?
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
Can we do that? David, I'm down to trade.
No,
I was hoping to get the turn.
Approved.
Easy. Good doing business with you.
Okay. David, do you want to trade now?
No,
I also wanted to.
Two's the spot, in my opinion.
Well, because like I'm going to have to make a decision for us. You know what I mean? Like we're picking. I'm curious
if we have the top two, or if we have the same top two.
Would be shocked if we didn't. Me and you. You know what I mean? Okay. Would be shocked. Here we go.
Thank you.
An official trade.
The first ever?
First ever.
I've tried many times. I've definitely traded in the past. I don't remember what. Don't remember what it was.
Not in 2023.
No. This is way back. I was a much younger man with a higher vibrato than I've ever had.
Okay. So Matt's on the clock.
I am on the clock. So I am between two. And I feel like there's a classic and then it's the one I want. I'm trying to make more of this than what it is. It's the No Way Home suit. At the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, it's Tom Holland, it's the final suit, and it's it looks aesthetically, it's the perfect Spider-Man suit for live action. It's the most comic accurate, and it even pairs with live action better than other comic accurate suits have done. I don't know what it is about it. There's just something that pops Spider-Man cartoon. It's new, it's old school, it's modern, but classic. The eyes at the very end of that shot are just the perfect Spider-Man shot. And then once you get past how great it looks, you get into the meaning of it. The script descriptions at the end of that movie, got chills just saying those words, at the end of that movie where it talks about how Peter has built a new suit, taking inspiration from other suits he's seen, meaning he took the webbing of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man suit. He took the eyes of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man suit. He kept the black Spider-Man in the chest because that's what Tony gave him. And then the cartoon on the back, the cartoon spider. All of that put together in this shiny blue matte red, which is usually opposite for a Tom Holland Spider-Man suit. Usually the matte is on the blue. All that together, sliding in the snow, he knows that he has left Peter Parker behind and he is Spider-Man. I mean, that's the best ending to the best character arc in comic book movie history. And the suit says so much without any character pointing it out. It's incredible. It's the No Way Home suit. Easy.
Yeah. Great pick. The one I was going to touch on, if you didn't, was the narrative element to it, where it is like, even without the description, you just know watching it. It's like, oh my God, like he's pulling from what he just saw. He's pulling from the other Peter Parkers. And like, in the moment, I remember just getting chills everywhere when he first just slides open the window and puts it, you just see like the blue, the shimmering blue leg.
So bright.
I really hope we get it back. I really hope this suit gets its own movie because it really deserves it. And like, it's one of those suits where, I mean, it is just, we get this much of it. We barely see it. And it just got drafted 101. And I have no arguments against it. And like, it needs its own movie. And I don't know if we're going to get it because they've gotten so into just like the merchandise and you always have to do something new and different. But this suit deserves its own movie and I really hope we get it.
David, carrying on from that really quick, did they make a toy of that? Like a 6-inch figure?
They did. There's a hot toy, I believe. Like a really fancy one. That sucks. There's not a ton of like the... And I'm not trying to step on any future suits, but like the integrated suit that we get the gold for most of No Way Home, that was the main like toy that was given out for No Way Home. But yeah, there is. But I think there's still room to grow there. And I think there might make some slight tweaks, you know, maybe a couple little things. But that same idea, one thing I wanted to point out, and I mentioned a little bit, was like the shimmering, the shiny pants. That was so key. I think it looked so amazing. The snow.
And the snow. And
the way it adds shadow, like it's a comic, like an actual comic.
Yep.
Yeah. Love that. I was going to draft that number one. I'm not going to lie. I'm cool with trading away. I'm playing the long game here. I'm hoping that I don't turn into the Arizona Cardinals and, you know, Houston goes on to the playoffs and ruins my chances here. But love that pick. It is absolutely my favorite suit. And I know exactly what's about to get drafted here.
Real quick, before I move on, because I'm very excited about this pick. Exterior shot, Rockefeller Plaza, continuing nightfall. Soars overlook Rockefeller Christmas tree with a newfound sense of freedom. Liberated from having to juggle two lives, Peter Parker is no more, but Spider-Man lives on. That's what I just drafted. So go ahead, David. Go ahead with your second pick.
It's my first pick. Thank you. With that being said... This is my favorite suit that I'm about to draft. This is the suit that I have raved about since 2014. 2013, actually, when that silhouette poster came out and all you see are his big, bright, beautiful eyes. And that is the TASM 2 suit. To me, like, these are my top two, Matt. We knew this. And this is why I wanted number two, because I was going to be happy with either one of these picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have taken TASM 2 at one. So now I think I'm in kind of the perfect spot for me personally.
All right.
Because this is the suit. Like for me, this is what I wear in Spider-Man 2, speaking of the video game, all the time. I mean, it is the main suit I wear because it is truly my favorite. I think that the big eyes are the main part, but it's just so iconic in terms of like the coloring. It's all very like perfect. The webbing, the lower symbol, I think, works really well, but still having that kind of longer look to it, just like from the first TASM. And to me, I think what makes it so great, in my opinion, was that stark improvement from the first one. And it's totally different. Like, I didn't love the first suit, and I thought the first suit kind of, it kind of takes away from the movie, in my opinion. And the second suit, to me, like, it goes a complete 180 and becomes what I think is still the best Spider-Man suit that I've seen in live action. And in TASM 2, it has no narrative relevance at all. However, it looks so good. That entire time, it just looks fantastic. And in many ways, TASM 2 is still one of the most aesthetically pleasing Spider-Man movies we've ever gotten.
Thomas, if I may, because I want to go off that point. I agree that this is 1A, 1B situation between these two suits for me. You said it has no narrative point. You're right. But no suit has, like, starred in a movie more than the TASM 2 suit. The way that they present Spider-Man in that movie, the amount of daylight that they're in, the amount of hero shots we get scattered throughout the movie, the opening shot when he's coming down.
Yeah.
Good morning, New York. And it's just, you see the long spider come right on down. And it's not to say that the Raimi suits don't star in those movies. They definitely do. They 100% do, in a very early 2000s kind of way. You know, I mean, the hero shots were better back then, and they always will be. Just because, like, the movie led up to that, those moments. But it's just the way that Andrew Garfield moves in this suit specifically, in every turn, is just so perfect. And the big eyes, like you said, it's iconic at this point. It's Ultimate Spider-Man. It's not traditional, but also it feels classic at this point. Like, this is so not traditional Spider-Man suit, with the belt and the big eyes and the long spider in the back, as opposed to the cartoon spider. But it feels like Ultimate Spider-Man made a very big impact in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool way to handle it, with probably the best body acting Spider-Man we have in Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
I love this pick. I knew these would probably go top two. And the TASM suit is perfect. Like, there's nothing else I can say. I love the spider on it specifically, and how it changes its... That's what really... that and the eyes are what distinguishes it from Toby, in my opinion, because it's essentially the exact same suit. But when you see them next to each other, and you see that the shades of color are slightly different, the way it plays as it moves, and it's exactly what I always thought a Spider-Man suit should be growing up. So when TASM 2 came out, I was like, they've perfected Spider-Man. I don't know how, when MCU was coming out, I was like, I don't know how they're going to make this suit worthy of competing against TASM 2. And they have done very well, I will say. Yeah, but
they made the eyes move, Thomas. That's what they did.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They use science.
Yeah. God.
I'll never forget the pop, by the way, in that Civil War trailer. Hey, window.
Everybody.
Oh, my God. And those eyes shrink a little bit. Oh,
it's perfect.
Unbelievable.
We will get to it. I promise. Real quick, before we move on from TASM 2, the loose fabric. How do we feel? Does it make anybody else uncomfortable? It makes me a little uncomfortable.
Oh, I love it. I think it adds life to it. Yeah. I think
would be so rashed and sweaty and weird in it compared to, like, a spandex.
Yeah. I think it does add life.
You're right.
There's something about it that feels more even, like, practical. Like, I think and this is going to be a conversation that we can have even later today. Like, there's a CGI to practical element to all of this. And I think, like, the TASM 2 suit specifically, like, just looks so real to me. And it looks like Andrew Garfield spent so much time actually in it. By the way, one thing on the eyes, and then we can move on. They could do so much with the eyes, even though they didn't move like Tom Holland. They're so big. Think of the Electro scene. You can, like, see so much. When Gwen's dying, you can see so much through the reflection. And it's like, that, I guess, was the narrative tool they used, really was the reflections of those eyes.
And taking that from the Raimi suits as well is a cool homage.
Too,
using the eyes. All right, Thomas, back-to-back picks here.
Here we go.
The two chalks are off the board, in my opinion. I feel like it opens wide open from here.
I think.
And this is why I love this weird-minded individual taking this round, because I feel like you in a turn is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing.
And that's what I really wanted. Once you added villains, I was like, oh, yeah. Thank goodness. There's only 10 freaking Spider-Man suits. Plus or minus. I was like, oh, we're going to have to do a 3-round 9-man draft because there's 11 to 12 suits with a small variation. And I'm like, ah, I mean, like, I need the first pick because then I know exactly what suit I got to get and then another backup here and there. But now we got villains and I'm going to lead off. I'm going to take, I'm a point down. I'm a Babe Ruth this shit. And I'm going to go right for Norman Osborn, No Way Home, yep, with the purple on top. The Ooh. Goat of goats. I'm talking the best possible combination of the Power Ranger suit that everyone calls out from the 2002 Spider-Man movie, which still
I love.
Terrifying. The armor makes total sense. Iconic. The mask leaves room for interpretation here and there, but the way they upgrade it by just letting his face do what Willem Dafoe does is amazing. And the way that he's just like, he can go from Norman to Goblin in just eye twinges. It's the way that Jim Carrey goes from Jim Carrey to the Grinch in that interview. It's all in the face. And the way that the costume opens it up to that, we add in just the right amount of purple. It looks like a cape. It's not a cape. It's a hoodie. It fits the MCU beautifully. I absolutely love this suit. It is, in my opinion, villain 101 of all suits, because when you add in the fact that it's Willem Dafoe, man,
right,
it's really hard to go anywhere else because he's a legend. He's the Spider-Man villain.
Yeah. My only thing on this, I think it's so funny because this suit pick, I think it's a great choice, is reducing the amount of suit. Like, that's why it's so great. It's subtracting. It is subtracting from the suit, makes it so amazing. And I agree, because it lets Willem Dafoe just be the scariest Goblin we've ever seen in that movie.
No, and I think that's what makes it such an interesting pick as well, because like the big problem with the Raimi suit, which is still iconic, don't get me wrong, is that it doesn't emote. And Spider-Man already as a character has an emotion problem because the mask doesn't move. Like this is something, unfortunately, we learned in the movie that this took place. When you look back, one of the biggest problems of that movie is that when they're talking back and forth to each other, it's just faces looking at each other, smiling even. So I think taking off the mask and it being a scene in the movie, he didn't just take it off. Like, there was a scene where they showed him leaving the mask behind, Goblin No More. It lets Willem Dafoe do what, weirdly enough, I don't think any of us expected him to do, turn into the Goblin. That's one neat trick. And It's so well done throughout the whole movie, and it takes the thing I make fun of all the time. Bah! It takes that, and really, the MCU-ification of this suit is perfect. And it was number four on my list. So great pick.
Number four on my list as well.
Oh, so
ooh, which means okay.
Number three is open.
It
and
is.
Here we go.
And on the now, turn. Now this is where I have to really work hard. I have to go with the odds, because I have a pick that I want.
Sure.
But then I know that I'm going to lose a couple other picks on the way there. And I'm just fucking crazy enough to do it. I'm picking Mysterio. My three and my four.
Right
my
there.
Three and my, look at us. Huh? Look at
same
us.
Exact
look at
fucking
the
ranking.
Same top four.
Same exact
bro.
Ranking.
I really had to fight myself to go with the villain here, but I don't think the villains get enough shine throughout all the Spider-Man movies, despite how great they are in terms of their suits. And I mean, I love Doc Ock. He's just arms in a lab coat. Love Lizard. He's just a lab coat, as we explained earlier today. But I highly
lab coat.
What was that?
I like the Lizard lab coat. Because you're hateful with your lab coat.
It's
fine.
It's fantastic. is that Lizard wearing a lab coat? That's weird.
Yeah,
dinosaur in a lab coat.
It's the line of the movie.
That best line he had, maybe. And the fact that it's all CGI within the universe is such a beautiful
so
Mysterio
cool.
touch.
So cool.
Because I always was like, how are they ever gonna make Mysterio this magician, but like a stage magician, this illusionist, make this work in the MCU.
Right.
And it's like, oh, we're just going to do what we literally do and just put them in pajamas, man. And it is absolutely perfect. I want a Mysterio suit because it looks like he's a drunk version of Thor with a fishbowl on his head, which could be filled with beer.
You're right.
Come on, man. And I really just love it all integrates. But Jake Gyllenhaal, man, just crushing it out there, about to kick some faces off in Roadhouse. And every now and then I see him and go, dude, we got him in the MCU. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Can you believe it? And I, you know what? Mysterio's not dead. I'm saying it. That's where I stand. Oh. I don't think he's dead.
JJ Truther.
And he was right, apparently. No, yeah, this is a fun pick. I think what's fun about it is that it, like you said, it is literally, and in the story, all like CGI and computer graphics. And I think the fishbowl, when Peter Parker actually goes into the Mysterio like world for a minute, you know, and he is just fully encapsulated with the digital effects that are happening around him and getting bamboozled left and right, and it's on full display, that shows off to me like the full potential of that Mysterio suit, which I thought was just awesome. And even in general, he first shows up at the beginning of the movie and he's got the spinning things. He's just acting, but it looks cool. It looks really cool when he's doing it. So,
yeah. Direct podcast historians will remember I drafted this first overall in an MCU suit draft years ago.
Wow.
Years ago. I have it as a Funko Pop. Shout out Liam Crowley. And yeah, I think it's number three on my list with a bullet. Just because it wasn't Spider-Man is the reason I didn't take it. I think it's great. I think the story narrative behind it is the best we will see on this list. Ben Mendelsohn even has the line, you know, he was very convincing with the suit and the craftsmanship. Fine. RIP Ben Mendelsohn, by the way. He died. He died in that show. They killed him. You guys remember?
I remember.
He does not survive in my favorite universes.
Guy is still out there, though. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God Guy is still out there. But yeah, no, Mysterio, great pick. My top four have all been taken. So in a draft I thought opened up, we're right here, right in line. David, here you are at number two. You got Tasm 2 on the board. Where are we going next?
This is my number three. This is a suit that in childhood was the most iconic that I think I can remember. And holy shit, just the marketing for the suit alone. It's the symbiote suit from Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
I think this is the best suit of that trilogy by a mile. When he gets into that thing and he wakes up upside down, hanging off the skyscraper, it looks so cool. Like, my analysis is that the Raimi symbiote suit just looks so cool. And like, sure, I grew up. When I first saw Spider-Man 3, that was the best movie ever. Grow up and I'm like, okay, it's got its flaws. It's not so good. The Venom part's a little weird. But when he puts on that suit and starts swinging around and doing his thing, I thought it was just the coolest thing. And I still think the all black look, like normally symbiote suits have some kind of white to it. You know, like they're like the symbol is actually white. It's just dark and black and gray. And I think it just being kind of this overlay of his normal suit worked so well. And just the dark eyes, I adore that suit. I think it's so great. And it's definitely nostalgic for me, but I also just think it looks so sleek and cool.
Thomas?
100% agree with you. It was my favorite Spider-Man suit until TASM 2 came out. I am emotionally addicted to all symbiote suits of all time. I love every single one. My first introduction to it was obviously when JJJ Jr. crashed into Earth, brought the symbiote in the 1996 animated Spider-Man show, and he puts it on for the first time and I go, whoa, I didn't know that was a possibility. And I'm a guy, the NWO was big at the time, white on black, it was elite. That's right, man. You get it. You were alive. David really wasn't at that time. So I love this pick so much. It would have been my number two pick if we were only doing Spider-Man Peter Parker, 100%.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, right. Iconic's the best way to do it. The marketing is perfect. Like, the posters for that movie are perfect. They really are.
It's the best. That one, back to back.
And that first symbiote scene in that movie is the best. It's the best part of that movie, and unfortunately, it doesn't get good after that. That's the only thing. Like,
oh yeah,
like that. Oh, I 100% agree. Scene is money, dude. Money. Now you know. I don't want to. It's not poking holes. It's not making flaws. Obviously, they made a creative choice. Knowing what the symbiote suit is more now that I've grown up a little bit, the cartoon, the video game, and after reading Secret Wars, finally the actual comic, not putting the white logo on is weird to me. Retroactively. Right. In the moment, it's fucking awesome. Don't get me wrong. But like it makes it stick out so much in the comic and so much in the video game that it's strange to me that they didn't go with the bright white logo there.
Yeah, I think I remember correctly, there was actually a version they were like kind of testing. And I think they went with they wanted just to be basically a dark mirror, right? You know, just an underworld, like scary, just, and that's, I mean, the writing is kind of simple in Spider-Man 3. It's like, he's bad now, you know, like he's dancing and he's, you know, he's like
bad. He's eating cookies in the hallway like a fucking madman.
Hitting MJ. I don't think that really flies these days. I mean, that was going back and watching that scene in like the cafe. That is an uncomfortable scene.
Surely they go back and talk about it and resolve that somehow, right? Sure.
No.
And that's the last line MJ has in the movie is getting hit. Interesting.
I gotta say, massive flaw in that movie that we need to point a brighter light at upon rewatch. It's like, wait, what? Like, you can't just. Anyway,
it just hit somebody.
The suit's awesome. This is a suit conversation, and the suit looks great, especially in that first scene.
Sure. No, I agree. It's a great suit. It's on my list. It's great. It's awesome. Here I go. My second round pick. Just to separate it up a little bit. Vulture. I'm gonna go Vulture first.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton's the shit. He's he's a mainstay on this show. He's the third chair here on the Direct Podcast. Michael Keaton. He only shows up for reviews, but he's here. This is, I think, one of the better examples, along with Mysterio, of MCU-ifying a comic book villain in a really cool way. How do we make the Vulture work? This old guy who's down on his luck all the time. How do we give him wings and something cool to, you know, feathers and shit and all that? They find the coolest way to do it here with the scraps tech from Avengers battles in the past. The bomber jacket with the big feathery collar, everything about it, the mask, the green eyes, that scene where, and well, he's got feet. He's got Vulture feet. How does that make sense? He's literally stealing shit with them. Like, he picks it up. They make it all work. Like, the Vulture character overall is so perfectly MCU'd from comic book to live action, and the suit reflects it in every cool way imaginable. It's also one of the very rare times in Spider-Man movies where like the battle at the end is not necessarily even like a fight one-on-one between the two. It's like more of an obstacle driven battle, a very Spider-Man thing, especially in the video games. It's not always fighting someone. Sometimes it's navigating a path or getting through an obstacle or saving somebody, and that movie has a lot of that. So the Vulture at the end, I think, is really just great accent to all of that. It's more of a mission, less of a fight. A la the train car and MJ at the end of the Raimi Spider-Man. I just think the Vulture does so many great parts for that movie, and the suit does so many great parts for the character. So I'm going to take Michael Keaton's Vulture.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's a couple things on this pick. You mentioned it, like the practical purpose, I think, is really cool, which is a very MCU characteristic, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like, all right, let's make this make sense. Like Mysterio, like Thomas's pick. Like Green Goblin, like Thomas's pick. You know, this is what the MCU does. Yeah.
Also, Doc Ock does that in Spider-Man 2 a little bit. Right. Like, the arms have a purpose.
Yeah.
Feels like an homage. I know it's not, but it feels like it a little bit.
Exactly. And the second thing I have in the Vulture suits is it is a stark improvement from the comics, in my opinion. Like, that is how you adapt a comic book to live action. And that, I think, that's what gives Vulture, like, it was on my list as well. That's what gives it, you know, brownie points. It really is an improvement, and that's how you adapt comic books, because sometimes they just don't do it right. You know, it looks too comic booky here and there, or it looks too, you know, earthly and mundane and boring. But this is X-Men. A perfect...
if this suit didn't have the beady green eyes, it would be down a notch, because that is what just makes it terrifying. That's what's like, oh, this is a villain. This is, I'm scared right now for my life.
But it doesn't just have beady green eyes. They're night vision goggles, because he has to do it at night because he's a thief.
And we get to see that. We get like the Iron Man cam.
Making him a thief for whatever reason just hit on 8 different levels at the same time. Very cool. Thomas, your favorite Vulture scene from Homecoming? There's many of them. They're all very cool.
It counts. So the car scene.
When without the suit.
Yeah, without the suit. The best, you know, if you want a good villain, he's got to be great without the suit, right? The same with the hero. And I think that is the best scene for the character. But his initial introduction, the music comes in. You got the greedy, beady green eyes coming down. He's got the actual, looks like a beach on there as well. It's just elite, man.
But yeah,
sound design too is in there. Yeah.
It's like this bird picked me up and threw me in the river.
Well, in the opening scene, business is good. I'm like, it's Michael. He's doing the Michael Keaton thing. That movie's so cheesy in the best way, man. And I'm going to stick to it. We're going to stick at Homecoming, kind of. Civil War, Homecoming. It's a Stark suit. The eyes. Hey, everybody. Under ruse. I mean, we talked about this suit ad nauseum on this podcast. We talked about it already today. Making the eyes move was such a moment for the Spider-Man character. Yeah. How are we going to make it different? You know, everybody's thinking like, oh, another Spider-Man reboot. How are we going to care? His eyes move. We all care immediately. So much more. And there's just so much to it. Just that little feature. And then you build it up and you add in the fact that, of course, Tony made the suit. Of course, if Spider-Man and Tony Stark are going to be together in a universe, Spidey's going to get an updated suit. I know a lot of people are sick of the tech reliant Spider-Man. It's so perfect in the moment. It's so perfect for the universe and everything about it, how he gets it, what he ends up doing with it, the fucking backpack. The Stark suit is iconic and big fan. Glad it's on my team.
Especially when you first see it, because like what Thomas said earlier, I think it was Thomas, where it's like, how do you live up to TASM 2? And how do you how do you reinvent the wheel once again? And they did it with the eyes, but it also is like the way it fits Tom Holland's like body compared to like Andrew Garfield, because they physically do look different. That kind of does factor into the aesthetic, like because Andrew Garfield's a little bit tall, like the TASM 2 suit, I think, does benefit from that. It does feel a little like longer and sleeker, but this feels more like the 15-year-old suit that he got from a billionaire, you know? And I really enjoy when it's on full display in Homecoming. That's when you're getting all the gadgets and this and that. And he's more, it's less CGI and he's more practically in it as well. Looks fantastic. And one of the best scenes with it is when he pulls off at the very end of the movie. What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Best.
Amazing. You're the Spider-Man. It's awesome, dude.
Love this pick. This was number 5 or 6 on my list. 6. It was number, I lied to you. It's way lower. I'm dyslexic as hell. It was a lot lower, but I knew because I don't love it as much as others, but it is absolutely perfect. The best introduction you could have. I wore it for a long time playing Spider-Man remastered the other day. I was just like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I am Tom Holland. I've jumped around all the suits except Toby and except the TASM in remastered. I just haven't
sleep on the first Toby suit in that game.
I'm not sleeping on it. It's just I haven't got there yet because there's so many. But I have like an affinity, a very strong love for all the Holland suits because they fit so well with the story. Whereas all the other Spider-Man suits just aren't always as integrated to the story specifically. Yeah. And my favorite part of the Stark suit is you just hit the button and it undo.
Yeah. And you the alley yeah, scene. Come on, man.
It's so good. You just like, boop, boop. Okay, cool. Yeah.
David, let's rewatch Homecoming.
Oh, let's do it. Throw that into the X-Men list. We are going. Okay.
Such a good movie. Do, 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 do.
Oh, my God. The Michael Giacchino score is amazing throughout there.
It's so good.
David Thompson, you got a Raimi suit. You got a Tasm suit. Where are we going next?
We're going to it, man. I'm pumped. I'm stoked because this, in my opinion, now this, it gets very subjective. This is a very subjective draft. This is purely aesthetic. What do I like to look at? And this is my favorite Tom Holland suit, which is the upgraded suit from Far From Home. The black and red, the first suit that he actually designs himself, which I think is a really cool thing besides his homemade suit, obviously. But when he has all of the tech, this to me was creative. It was different. It sold a lot of toys, which is just so awesome. Yeah. But no, I think it actually looks great. I love how it's like the red fingers and like the black palms. I love how it seems like there's the white trim around the front symbol is a little bit more like pronounced than rather in the blue and red suit. So I think it's a great suit. Obviously it continues on in No Way Home, but it just, when he first created it and first jumps out in London and we get the final swinging scene in New York City, I'm just like, wow, this thing looks sleek. It looks awesome. And it was something new. You know, we've gotten so many suits. It was something new. I'm glad it isn't like, the No Way Home suit at the very end is the best one because it really is that iconic like Spider-Man look. But this was a fun suit for the time, you know, for having that kind of like moment in time. I do definitely prefer the red or like the blue overall, but I think it is a very, very slick suit.
This suit and this scene when he gets the suit is one of the reasons I've never really understood, buddy boy, I've never really understood why people don't like Far From Home.
Yeah.
Until No Way Home, the I Love Led Zeppelin scene is the best Spider-Man scene we ever got. Like,
so good.
The emotion behind it, the Happy Hogan-ness of it all, seeing him do the fucking thing. We all think it. We go to Favreau. He's feeling it. And then I Love Led Zeppelin. I mean, that's one of the best Peter Parker jokes that they've ever written. Like it's so perfect. And shout out to my buddy Andrew Ellis, who that has been his joke for years. Before Far From Home came out, his joke was a Beatles song comes on. Ugh, I love Elvis. So good. So yeah, this is my favorite Tom Holland suit for sure. But I took the Stark suit because the eyes are that. I mean, that's the step.
Exactly.
But when you tie in the scene, the I Love Led Zeppelin scene is so perfect, and this suit comes from it. It will forever be my favorite Tom Holland suit, besides the No Way Home suit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny. I said the same thing. Like, it's the best one. It's my favorite. But it's like, oh wait, the No Way Home one still exists. You know, but
we haven't gotten trilogy. I think it's a great choice for second best trilogy. Am I right, David?
You're right. You know what? You're right. Second best. That's fine.
Yeah. Thomas Carter Rochester, Holland suits off the board back to back. Where are we going next?
Really quick, the Spider-Man suit that I have in my closet is Far From Home, baby.
Yeah. Like, I was about to say, that's so good. Right?
It's the one that I got. It's so good. I have two of them because I bought the wrong size. Don't care. I'll keep two. I'm ready. Got a backup. I am now in a very weird position where I have two picks and three suits that I want. I need it. If I had to like trade it, I gotta have it. On my entire list, my five and my six are still sitting there. And I'm like, do I do it? Am I crazy enough to do it? Honestly. And I gotta go with my gut here and say, I probably am crazy enough to do it because I don't think we've perfected the one thing that I really want. And because of that, why get it? So I'm going to start off with, come on, Spider-Man, the homemade suit.
Yeah.
I rocked that the other day and I had so much fun just running around. I did the whole scene where there's another Spider-Man, the side mission. And it's like, I'm wearing the homemade suit. He's wearing the legit one. And I'm like, yeah, nerd. love it, dude. The hoodie. It's the upgrade from the Toby wrestling suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Toby wrestling suit is perfect for what it is and from the comics. But then he just instantly leaps to making his elite Spider-Man suit. And I love the middle ground of the homemade suit that he wears.
Yes.
And it's so perfect. That's like shaking your head. I know it's not how it works, but essentially it's how it works with the montage.
We don't slander that montage scene in this house.
Not slandering it. I'm just saying.
The entire Raimi trilogy.
Should have got more of those suits is all I'm saying. It probably is. We don't hit women in that scene. And there's a lot less MJ being toxic and Toby being also super toxic.
Less crazy. That's why
the best movie. That's why the first one's the best movie.
Second one's the best movie. great movie. Iconic comic book movie.
I've got to go the homemade suit simply because, like, it is the suit that anybody at their house right now could put together with sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And you want a homemade closet cosplay? I'm about to go to MegaCon, guys, and like, 2 days, I'm ready. I'm whipping out all the Thors. I'm going to pull Spider-Man, and I'm prepared to be the man that beats the man, because that's how you become the man, and it's the homemade suit. Come on, Spider-Man. Come on.
I love your brain so much. Yeah, come on, Spider-Man. Until Led Zeppelin, until the No Way Home swing, that's the best Spider-Man scene we ever got.
It
keeps going back.
It's still up there. I mean, it genuinely is still up there. Like, come on, perfect. Spider-Man. And this suit being what it actually represents, him having to come back down to Earth and just be Peter, just be Spider-Man, or be what he thinks Spider-Man should be, or what it actually is, and not an Avenger, not this like flying around crazy superhero alien thing, which we also get, you know, in the Avengers movies, but he wants that in Homecoming. He wants that immediately because he got thrown in this story in Civil War fighting them. You know, he's fighting Captain America. It's this crazy situation. So I love how that suit represents him coming back down to his roots, finding it in himself, not relying on anything else, and just being Peter Parker. And what a badass scene. He's lifting all that off of him. Like, he's incredible. I mean, just like in terms of like that scene, it's cool. I like to get into it where it's like, I'd love to see like the sliders on like different superheroes, like abilities, like in like Madden or something, like their attributes and like ratings and stuff, because his strength got pretty high on that one. I would say that's a pretty wild thing to be doing. I would say
to my recollection, I could be wrong, it's one of the only times we get the half and half as well. And it's with that suit. It's when we get that half Peter, half...
Yeah.
And then we get the waves in No Way Home. Come on, man. Comic books are awesome.
I love it.
It's a great pick. Fourth round, speed round. Thomas Carter Rochester, close out your team.
Here's where I really struggle. Remember how I said I was crazy? I don't know if I'm that crazy. So I got two here. I got two. And look at this doggy. I draft a dog in a Spider-Man costume. Like, that's my pick. Does it count?
No, he would never wear it. He would never come close to it.
We just got to put a little white spider on him then, like a little harness, if you will. And
paint a white spider on his back.
Venom Pup.
That dog so much.
He is he's Pup-num. Loving this conversation. He's having a great time.
So I'm going to do it. It is my favorite Spider-Man suit. In all of the MCU before the final No Way Home suit, and it is the integrated.
Oh,
I know that I'm alone on that hill. Ooh, I'm like so alone, and I really was gonna draft Venom here from Spider-Man 3. I was, but I gotta get my Spider-Man suit here because I love that they threw the gold on there, right? Like in marketing and inside in the producer's room, they're like, how do we separate our Spider-Man from the original Spider-Man? That's what Kevin Feige sounds like in my head. And it's just like, oh, you throw gold on him. But the gold is the nanotech from what's left of the Iron Spider suit, right? It still has the four arms. And it's still... Listen, I'm looking at toys. It counts.
Does it?
I do believe it has enough nanotech to still have four arms because it is nanotech. I don't think we saw it. But in all the marketing and toys that I see, they still come with the arms.
Because I feel like that's the question.
Yeah. But even if it doesn't have the arms, I'm still drafting it. Like, it's not a part of my argument for sure. But it like crawls over and then it not just distinguishes him, but it's like his final tribute to Tony Stark. After he's gone, he's like, you know what? I pulled a Tony. I made a mess. I got to clean it up. And I got to be willing to do whatever I can to fix this, any means necessary, even if I die. Peter Parker has to die in the eyes of the world because no one can know who he is. And that's the only, because of that, we, without this suit and without that final fight and without everything he goes through, he almost kills Goblin, never forget, that he cannot get that final suit. Peter Parker cannot be no more without this suit and that decision. And it is so, so pretty to look at, right? Yeah. If I could get me a suit like that, but have that be like some kind of 3D printed clip on where I'm like not flexible, or like preferably something that is flexible, that's the suit I'd want.
It looks like an addition. It looks like an addition more than it does the actual suit, right?
It does.
It's cool. It's a great looking suit. I don't understand the hate for it. I guess the hate would be it doesn't have a purpose, right? Yeah. But if it can make the arms, there's your eyes.
Yeah,
it's definitely, that's what I'm saying.
It's one of those toy ones for sure. That and like,
I wish that movie has many.
One of them is just his suit inside out. We all speculated for months about what is this.
Almost drafted it.
It looks cool. With that being said, I think what's so surprising is that how that's all CGI. And I remember watching that movie, being so impressed. Of it looks great. Yeah. Like in the final fight, like when they're at Statue of Liberty. It looks phenomenal. Like if you look at the set photos from that, he's always just in his upgraded suit. You know, he's never in any kind of different suit, any kind of gold thing at all. So that's really impressive to me. Leading into my last pick here, Matt, if you don't mind, I'm gonna dive in. I'm considering a few here. Obviously, we're wrapping up, and definitely a few deserve some shout outs at the end. But you know, I've got each Spider-Man represented here. Might as well dip my toe into the villains, and I'll go Doc Ock, Spider-Man 2. You know, it's one of those where it is a practical purpose. I just want to point everyone, if you're not a scaredy cat like I was when I was a kid and fast forwarded every time, the first scene with these arms, it's absolutely terrifying.
Slaughters them.
This was the Raimi thing coming in, you know, and I didn't know that at the time, obviously, like being a little kid, but later it's like, oh, right, Raimi did all these horror movies and like, oh my gosh. And you just see his face and the arms swinging around. And what I love about the Doc Ock arms with, you know, this version, of course, is how it can just lift him up, right? When he gets to the, like, when it just totally lifts him up high into the air, like when he gets to the, what would you even call it, on the bay in that, like, abandoned building, and he,
the barge of some sort?
Barge, sure. When he basically is like,
oh, Doc,
I'm going to recreate the sun. Again, I'm going to restart over, and he just like does the whole evil monologue, and it just rises up. I think it just looks awesome, and they're creepy. I think the what do you call those? Not claws,
tentacles.
Tentacles. Oh, yeah,
tentacles.
But like the ends, like where it's just like they can snap and do all these things. Mm-hmm. I think it really looks great, and it was awesome seeing them back in No Way Home. That's for sure.
Shout out Sam Raimi's brother for naming him Doc Ock, even though JJ took the credit. It's a good movie.
Always.
Those things are awesome, man. And like we were saying earlier, that's the most MCU those old school comic book movies got, as far as suit has purpose.
Right.
Kind of, you know what I mean? And it does. And it's great. Because the first scene, they're not scary. They're not really that scary in that first scene. Pan Alive, is it a monster movie? In that second scene. The nails, the chainsaw. All of it.
When it takes him over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When they become the villain. Yeah.
And they stay awesome too throughout No Way Home. He's the only character where the suit doesn't really change very much on the transfer over to No Way Home. It's still a trench coat. His hair is different, but that's about it.
Not really a suit, if I'm being honest here. You know?
Well, I think the tentacles count as a suit, you know?
Yeah.
It's something you wear.
But you know what I mean? Like it's just kind of.
It's no less a suit than the Vulture wings. And right. They're so similar in that way as well.
Yeah, that's very true.
I love them. They're cool. You listen to me now, and the inhibitor chip, such a comic book ass fucking MacGuffin throughout the whole movie. It's great. It's
wonderful. And him using them to pull down the sun at the very end. Love it.
The behind the scenes video of Alfred Molina doing Fiddler with the claws.
Fantastic. Oh my God, yes.
The one scene when the one behind the scenes was Willem Dafoe was there for a day.
Yeah.
And he's in there doing the whole Doc Ock thing.
Okay. Thomas, what's the practical strain wearing that backpack with the claws on for as long as Alfred Molina had to?
It's definitely going to compress your lower spine. It's going to pull that weight down a little bit more. It's going to pull the shoulders back just a little bit. Oh, and he's a big guy, but not just that. At least I will give it props. It does have the, you know, belt around the stomach. So at least if it's pulling you back, it's also pulling that belly button in so you don't get an umbilical hernia, because that would be terrible. Have had to. Don't get the surgery. Just deal with it until you die.
Great advice, everyone out there.
That's my medical advice. Don't get an umbilical fixed until you absolutely have to.
The views of Thomas Carter Rochester do not reflect the views of the Direct Podcast or the Direct.com or any of its subsidiary sponsors. Doc Ock, I love it. I'm gonna keep it going. I'm gonna go classic. You guys are scared to do it. I'm not scared to do it. It's Tobey Maguire. It's the Raimi suit. It's the original.
The first one?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the first one. And I'm very excited about it. I came in with attitude, and I thought, you know what I mean? I came in abrasive and mad. But we already talked about it today, David. That grid paper scene where he is drawing out that first suit, one of the most imprinted scenes on me as a child ever. I loved it so much. I asked my mom for grid. I'll never forget. I asked my mom for grid paper as soon as I got that home VHS, right? That's not DVD. It's VHS.
It was DVD.
I know, but like, I probably had it as VHS.
It was that middle ground period where they both came out for sure.
For sure. But like just that whole, and then like we were talking earlier, hero shots with the suit were such a bigger part of the movie back then. Yeah. Not that they're not now, but like one of the three biggest parts of the movie back then were the hero shot of the suit. And then you get the flag, you get the whole thing. Like we were talking about earlier with the eyes, where one side's the train, one side's MJ. What are you going to pick? Classic Spider-Man scenario. So many great memories and nostalgia tied to that suit. And I still think it slaps. I do. I think that it plays next to Garfield and Holland in No Way Home. It does have that. The knock on it, I guess, is the webbing being so weirdly embossed, I guess. Like it's sticking out. It's fucking on there, man. Like it's weird, but it is iconic still. And the swings with the legs closed together. You know what I mean? You know how... how Maguire swings like the robot does at Disney.
Yes.
Boots and everything. It's great. So I'm variety on my board. I'm going to take the Maguire suit.
Yeah, I appreciate the pick for sure. Love getting Raimi on the board. You know, obviously the symbiote suit was earlier, but I thought about getting an iconic one. I would have probably, the second and the third are like very, very similar. Sure. I do think they're
too silver for me.
And the second has a slightly lighter red, which I like. That's why I think it might be the best. I think the third one gets a little darker, if I remember correctly. Could just be the color framing. Does. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say it could just be like the movie itself, but yeah. And in general, though, quickly on the Raimi suits, like this was just growing up. This was the iconic Spider-Man suit, you know, and this was what we're now post game here. The TASM 1 suit kind of sucks, in my opinion. Like,
awful.
I do not like it. And there were people, and I don't know if Thomas likes it. Thomas likes it.
I do like it.
It's got the yellow eyes, first off.
I hate that. I hate the eyes.
I hate that. I hate the texture of it. It looks like, maybe it was supposed to be, it looks like lizard skin. It looks like snake skin. It looks weird. And I thought it was too dark. It was too blue, but not the right blue. And I love TASM. I really enjoy The Amazing Spider-Man. I loved that movie, but that suit for me holds it back so much. And like, I think it's just such an incredible moment of self-reflection. They were able to course correct that for the second one, you know, where they're like, you know what? Because I remember I watched, oh my gosh, over and over when I was obsessed, of course, with TASM, the like direct, like the featurettes on the Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
And it has the costume designer, the woman, explaining how they talked about it, how they wanted to look like, what happens if they're a web just naturally like folded over Spider-Man. And when she explained it, it made more sense because they wanted it to be a little bit more practical, the sunglasses of it all, where it's like the kid kind of made it, you know. But then it's still kind of towing that line where it's like, really, is he actually going to make this? And then to me, it just missed the mark. It tried to be too different. And if it weren't for Raimi's Spider-Man suit being so iconic, it wouldn't have tried to zag the other direction so hard.
Right. And that's a lot of the problem with that those Tasman movies is that they couldn't do the things that they did. The Raimi movies, The Suit being one of them. It's just at the end of the day, like as an art director, you have to look at the sunglasses and think, this just isn't working. Like they're yellow. Like they're not just dark. They're yellow and it's weird. And I guess like their loophole would have been, how do we make white glass, like white frames, I guess, transparent? Like, how do we show that at some point? Because I think the idea is people look through sunglasses. They don't look through white lenses ever.
Yeah. Because, you know, in Raimi's, it's like, it is like cloth, you know?
But there's also a radioactive fucking spider, though. Like, what are we doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
Radioactive Spider-Man. I like the Tasman suit. I loved it when it first came out because it was different. They weren't trying to be Raimi.
Super sleek.
But then when I look back at it now, I'm like, God, if it weren't for the eyes, those horrible yellow eyes,
it would be
a great suit. It would be such a great suit.
That was awesome.
Unfortunately, it's just not. What I love about the suit, just take off the mask when he's not wearing the mask. It's beautiful. Perfect suit.
I agree with that. At the end, when the lizards got him. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Terrifying.
It's so good because the way it arcs around his shoulders, it perfectly fits his body type,
yeah,
which is not something that we got.
It's got that like
streamline, yeah. And it points right to the you know what, but Cock? They
well, Toby's has the direct arrow.
Yeah, it really is a pointed arrow,
and that's what I wanted to say. It's like everybody argued about that, and I'm like, guys, watch any Spider-Man ever. In live action, yeah, and that's all it does. They have to add the V to simulate the muscles that are underneath the pelvic floor there. And I love like the little belt around the back and how it ties down the legs. That's football, baby.
Never say pelvic floor on my podcast again. That's my first rule. Never again. I was just about to say it looks like a figure skater suit. That's where he pulled it from in the movie. Yeah. Remember the
spandex? Yeah, spandex.
So much spandex.
He
it's great.
One thing that I do want to argue is like, oh, it doesn't look like a kid could make it. It actually does. It does. I used to have Under Armour that had the exact same. So when you zoom in on the blue, it's the exact same little mesh. It's just hexagons over and over.
Hexagon mesh. Yeah.
And I had so much of that, and people were like, it doesn't look real. And I used to take pictures of my of a pair of gloves in and out and like lay it over top. And I was like, oh man, yeah, I made this in Photoshop. And they're like, that's so good. Like, holy crap, it looks just like the suit. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's my gloves, bro.
Playing the fucking 3D chess there. But it was also very much during the Under Armour era. That's
it. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Right in line with it. Great honorable mention. Let's go through the picks really quick. I came away with the No Way Home suit, Vulture, Stark suit from Spider-Man Homecoming, and the Raimi suit from Spider-Man 1. Less silver. I don't like the silver trim. I like the black trim, personally.
Mm-hmm.
David got TASM 2. Such a good suit. Got the symbiote suit from Spider-Man 3. Such a good suit. The upgraded suit from Far From Home, and Doc Ock. Thomas came away with the Goblin No Way Home. That was the right choice. Mysterio, homemade suit from Homecoming, and then the integrated suit from No Way Home. We mentioned the TASM 1 suit not being on the list. Any other honorable mentions that people were fighting for, or were they just on your list because you needed 12?
I had Electro from No Way Home on the list. Very specifically from No Way Home. I did have, I mentioned Venom, Topher Grace. Great Venom. When it's not Topher's face. That rhymed.
You like that one over the Tom Hardy one?
I didn't think Tom Hardy counted because Spider-Man wasn't in the movie.
I would have taken it.
Damn it. But I like the face more. We get the eyes a little bit, and we have the spider on there. Yeah. So it's like classic Venom. Also why it didn't make it, because it wasn't. Prowler from Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. He was live action. He was the only new footage shot for that movie.
Yeah,
that was cool. I wanted to take it, but I was like, you know. That's just pandering to myself, and that's not going to catch a vote. But also,
maybe next time.
So good. Hey, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Next time.
Next time, baby.
The one I had was Iron Spider, which is the elephant in the room, I would say. And I think this draft represents, you know, design wise, I think it's a bit of a letdown. I don't think it's the best way of back to the whole adaptation thing, which I think Vulture gets so much praise for in many of the other suits. This one. You know, I think it leans too far into being what it would maybe actually look like, quote unquote, if that makes any sense, like not going with kind of the scarlet red and the gold like we see in the comic books, but it's just not, it's not that exciting. It doesn't look that different, I think, is probably the biggest critique I have of it. The arms are awesome.
Right. And the eyes are also great. Like, it can change color. I have no problems with the suit other than the fact that it's not printed onto his body. Like, it's not skin tight. When you go from the neck to the shoulders, there is a curve there. Like, it's not, it's the same feeling I get when Batman puts on the Superman fighter suit and Batman versus Superman. It's just bulky. It's just simply bulky when we're used to being more skin tight Spider-Man.
And I want to say with the CGI, because that suit's fully CGI, it looks too inconsistent to me. And that is a nitpick for sure, but it is in Infinity War, Far From Home, and No Way Home. And you can't tell me it looks the exact same every single time. I mean, it looks close, but not every single time.
Doesn't even look the same in Spider-Man Remastered when it popped up because I unlocked it. And I was like, wait, don't I already have this? I was like, oh, I forgot this suit existed because I have blacked it out from my memory like a good old concussion would do.
Nice. I do like the jagged Iron Man tech when he takes the mask off. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Around the neck, neckline. That's pretty cool. I will say one of my biggest pluses is it totally fits the Avengers movies that he's in with it. So like it fits beautifully within that. Yeah. Oh my God. It's so peak in Endgame.
It peaks.
Activate instant kill.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, Peter Parker. Other suits that were not drafted, the Night Monkey suit, the Spider-Man 2 suit, Aunt May's nightie from the Raimiverse, Aunt May's nurse gown from TASM, and Aunt May's high-waisted shorts from the Homecoming trilogy, which probably should have been drafted, guys, if we really want to look back at it.
Great list, Matt. I'm so happy we're still recording. From the Wrap, exclusive, Millie Alcock is Supergirl. Let's go, baby. We won.
Brian,
we did it.
Has to watch House of the Dragon now.
He does.
He has to watch it. Now he has to understand how much we've won right now.
Drunk on stage at the Emmys like a badass. Come on, man.
Do you think we can get her as Supergirl and as Spider-Gwen?
No.
No. But no. This is going to be awesome.
A man could dream.
But I'm glad she's in this. I'm glad it's not Sydney Sweeney in Madam Web.
That's
right?
Great.
Mm. Like, this is a win. This is a James Gunn produced product we're going to get.
Absolutely.
This God, so I love good. This.
Shout I love it. Sydney we're going to react too. More to it next week.
Yes.
But David, feels like a win here.
Let's go. I knew it. You're right. Yeah. When we saw that name, it just had to happen. It had to be rising star, not really attached to much now. Perfect.
I'm so happy.
Franchise play. This is going to be awesome.
This is great. This is great. This is a great win in this podcast.
And she's going to have a great suit, no doubt about it.
Yeah, she'll have a cape. She'll have a little cape that goes over her shoulders a little bit.
I mean, it's based on the one specific comic, so I imagine it's going to look probably something like that. The skirt. You
know, I like that her cape kind of comes up a little bit in that specific comic.
I like how it's shorter, and I like the skirt. I think it differentiates.
Way shorter. The skirt's nice.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what happens, but I'm so excited.
I'm very excited. Excellent news drop here at the end. Thomas Carr Rochester, thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to learn more about A Galaxy Far, Far Away, where could they do that?
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, as well as wherever you get your other podcasts. At Reckless Rebellion, we are the podcast with enough chaotic energy to fuel a Death Star, all about the wars and the stars. We stand Ventress over there. We watch animated shows. And when David shows up, we make fun of him for it. You can find us on Twitter at Reckless Rebellion, RECKLESSREBELS.
Thank you so much. And if you want to stick to a podcast that is not watching Bad Batch, you can find us here on the Direct Podcast, where me and David will be holding it down. David, where can the people hear yours and Jillian's lovely voice next?
Yeah, either Wednesday or Thursday, depending upon our schedules, we will try to summarize, recap, and review the rest of Percy Jackson and all of Percy Jackson, right? The first season is about to be completed. Jillian's a huge fan. Go check out her work on thedirect.com. She's been doing an awesome job with interviews. She interviewed the actress that plays Clarice. Great piece coming out soon. Some other awesome work by her. And in general, Percy Jackson. If you like that show, check out the next episode.
Thomas, he said Clarice. You got an Anthony Hopkins for me?
There he is.
Knew he had it. Until then, we'll see you next time.